It's the Reality TV Happy Hour with Jordan Parhar. Because you can't spell Parhar without R-H-A-P.
R-H-A-P.
Reality TV Happy Hour. Reality TV Happy Hour.
The Big Brother Canada 4 premiere has come to a close, which means it's time for another edition of the Reality TV Happy Hour. What's going on, everybody? My name is Jordan Parhar, and welcome to our premiere recap for Big Brother Canada 4. Oh my goodness, I can't believe it's here. 1 year ago, I was in that house. I was living that right there. What those guys are doing today, and now I'm here breaking it down with the Rob Has a Podcast live feed correspondents. I cannot wait to get into this. I am super pumped. Let's go around the horn a little bit. Okay, on the top of my screen, and I don't know how this is working for everyone else.
It never works.
It never works, says Brent. Brent is poising out. It never works, but we're just going to go with it. He's somebody who has been on a lot of podcasts with me over the course of the offseason and during Survivor Cambodia last season. So he's very familiar to you if you are a fan of the Happy Hour. He's the closer. It's Taryn Armstrong, ladies and gentlemen. Taryn, how are you?
I'm doing great. You know, last year we were talking about you, and now we're talking with you. How crazy is that?
How crazy is that, right?
No. I think last year we were laughing at you, and this year we are laughing at you. Hi, and everybody.
And that voice,
Lovita's in the house.
And that voice, ladies and gentlemen, is, I'm sure you recognize it, it is the great Brent Walgamont. He's got a new mic. He's got a new camera. He's got a new scarf.
It's the same old attitude.
That's right. Brent, how are you?
I'm doing great. I have to tell you, I'm so excited for this season. And I'm not just saying that. Like, I really haven't paid much attention to the pregame stuff, you know, with the videos and the interviews and all that. I really didn't. I just took a really cursory look at everything and just kind of enjoyed the episode. And I really, really like what I see from what they're giving us so far.
It was great. I mean, I was really impressed. Let's keep going around the horn. Last but not least, he's got a little bit of Canada in his little video. If you're watching this on the Reality TV Rehab's YouTube page or live with us, and he's also wearing a Washington Wizards sweater. It's none other than the great Alex Kidwell. Alex, how are you?
Doing good. Yeah, a little international flair and a little local flair. That's how I like to do. I like to represent myself that way. And Yeah. It's interesting. I don't like this new Jordan as much as the old Jordan, and the Jordan for season one, I didn't like him as much either. I like last season's Jordan the best out of all the Jordans.
Is that going to be a new offseason podcast? We're going to do Jordan Parhar rankings. Which version of me is the best? I disagree with you.
The Parhar rankings.
Yes. We'll get into it
there. I think this is top Jordan.
All right. let's set this up here, guys. So we are live after the episode here. We're on Blab. We're also streaming on robiswebsite.com. We've got the chat going on robiswebsite.com, and we've got the chat going on Blab. So if you want to interact with us and leave some questions, you can do so by going in the chat on Blab. It should be on the right side of your screen. Type in /Q and then type in your question. That'll come up for us, and we can answer those later on in the episode. All right, guys, let's hop right into this thing. So Big Brother Canada 4, we see this BB Grand, this new house. It's a casino theme type of deal, a little bit different than the steampunk thing that we had last season on BB Can 3. What are your initial thoughts on the new house, Alex?
It looks very similar, but yeah, I mean, it's a nice theme. I definitely like the theme ideas, and certainly, like, I like the commitment to a theme. Like, once you pick a theme, I think you definitely need to roll with it. I think I was a little bit more preferential to steampunk last year, but I think that's more just kind of a personal preference type of thing. And, you know, I'm not really one for fashion or, architecture anyway. I'm not really one that really sees that as well as most. So I probably don't have the best perspective here.
Brent, you've got an eye for fashion. What do you think about the house?
I have to tell you, somebody told me that it was a casino theme this year, and they said, you know, they explained what's going on with the twist and the double down and all that. And I sort of blew it off on Twitter. And then when I saw the front of the house, I mean, it looked great. I'm not just saying that. It honestly looked great. you know, I don't know how many people out there actually know this, but I have a YouTube channel that's totally devoted to slots and slot machines. And I myself am a casino dealer at one of the local casinos here in Deal, you know, roulette and blackjack and everything. So I am living for this season. Like there's so many different places they can go with the theme of this season. And I feel like there's so many things they can do. I hesitate to say the T word, but twist wise, that can be a fair twist. It's something that will not annoy Taryn. You know what I mean? Something that is, I read an interview from Marissa Cox and she said that, that last year was the big year of twists, and you know that's not what this year is about. So I am hopeful for everybody's sanity that she's telling the truth.
Taryn, I noticed that you also tweeted about that interview in particular on 24 Hours this morning. Check that out. Go follow at Nelly Branco if you want to see that interview. He tweeted the link out. Do you think that, are we buying this? Do we think it's not going to be a super twisty season, or are you a little bit skeptical?
You know, I recently saw somebody try to criticize me by calling me Taryn Bledsoe, and I think that's totally accurate because I am Charlie Brown with the football right now. I'm willing to just let myself get set up for disappointment every time. I'm really excited at the prospect that last season was the season of the twists, but this season isn't. That being said, I think the casino theme is kind of perfect for Big Brother Canada, given how much luck is involved in the game. So, you know, at least we've got that.
Yeah, it should be entertaining. I found it interesting. You know, we had that HOH comp where we, right off the get-go, we have this idea of the, all right, who do you bet is going to be the first one out? Who do you bet is going to win? Alex, do you think that this is something that could continue on throughout the season?
I guess. Yeah, I mean, I would think so, right? Like, they certainly, like, have been, you know, at least, like, you know, last year they seemed really focused on the theme. They really seemed to stick with it, with everything kind of, like, within reason. So, you know, I'm sure the competitions will vary. But, yeah, I mean, I would imagine, like, you know, we haven't seen the have-not room, but I've heard that has, like, you know, from what we understand, that has a very kind of Vegas-y feel. And I'm sure, you know, like, the nomination ceremony and some of the basic staples will have some spins to them. And then, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if we see some twists come up down the road, especially, like, I think it'd be cool, especially if they're going to, like, make people share prize money and stuff like that. I think it'd be cool to have some luxury stuff pop up down the road, but who knows if they're going to spring for that. We'll see.
Yeah, that would be an interesting way to go with it. Brent, now let's talk about this, you know, top story thing that's probably coming to mind for a lot of people. There's a few things, but right off the last thing we saw in the episode is LaVita winning HOH. What do you think about LaVita? And do you think that she's somebody who's going to go into this thing a little too aggressively? Or do you like what you saw from her so far?
I liked what I saw from her. I like it that she hung on. She could have easily stepped off and no one would have thought, you know, a lesser of her because she's a quote unquote girl. You know, and people think, oh, well, you know, they're never going to win the hard endurance competition at the beginning where you have to get all cold. But I thought it was wise of her to win because hopefully she can use some of that aggressiveness and feistiness to establish some sort of an alliance to at least guide her through, you know, the first few weeks of the game, which I think is really what the first HOH is there for. I was shocked in a way that the boy, Jared, AKA Milkman 2, gave up so quickly because he could have easily won that. And I realize he's thinking, oh, I don't want to set myself up to be a big target. But when you walk in there looking like that, you are a target. So I don't think he was gaining in I don't think he was gaining anything by stepping off, and he may have lost something if something that, you know, you never know what happens week one. You don't know anybody's personality. You don't know what can happen. Something could blow up in his face and he could be out the first week, regardless of what she said.
All right. Well, Taryn, what do you think about Jared and his pipeline making that decision of deciding to step off there at the end?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want Jared to win the first HOH. I don't think that's a good place to be. But I think being second place in the HOH competition is pretty much just as bad. So I think at that point, he should have just taken the safety. I mean, for all he knows, LaVita could be somebody, and she might be, considering what we saw of her preseason. She might be the kind of person that's going to be like, you know what? Big Brother is about breaking your word, and this is the only person who I've given my word to. So you got to go, Jared.
Oh man, could you imagine if Levita takes that shot right off the get-go, just like Suzette did in season one? Man, that would be some good TV. Okay, other major thing that I think we need to talk about and address right off the hop here is this thing that was really shoved down our throats this episode, and that is the fact that there are two brothers in the house. We have Philip, also known as Felipe, from Ottawa. He goes by Pax or something. He's a DJ. We have his younger brother, Nicholas, who is 20. Both of these guys are brothers going in. Brent, what do you think about this idea for a twist? Having two brothers and then not being secretive about it, but just saying, hey, guess what? There are two bros in the house and they're playing as one person.
Well, I don't really know what the point of it is because they only have one vote. And they can only compete one time. So, you know, it's like they get all the baggage that comes with it, but none of the perks. I mean, besides the fact that, hey, you know somebody. But, I mean, that is hardly a perk. That's not a good trade-off. I read about it on Twitter, and I saw Taryn's tweet about, you know, how Felipe has already lost the game, or Nicholas has already lost the game. He said one of them has already lost because they're walking in there with their brother. And I was like, oh, that's just Taryn whining, you know, like usual, whenever there's a twist. And then I have to agree with him. Like, I think that I don't understand. I'm looking for the point. What is the point other than to say, you know, it's a casino theme and we're doubling down? You know what I mean? I get it feels like they're kind of throwing something against the wall and hoping it sticks, but I don't understand the point of this. I think maybe I will reserve judgment and see how it plays out during the first few weeks. But now that they have lost the expectations game, and by the way, I love that little bit that they did with, you know, who are you going to vote for and the expectations of everybody else. I think that, you know, they're secluded from everybody the first night. I think we got so much of them shoved down our throats because they could literally be evicted in one day.
Yeah, that's I mean, based on the evidence that we saw, I feel like if I'm Levita, that's the obvious target that you go for right off the hop. Taryn, if do you think that's where we're headed tomorrow? We're going to see this episode or tonight if the feeds come on and we're not too sure what's happening with that. Do you think that? You know, what percent odds if if you're a gambling man, we're going with the theme of this season. If you were a gambling man, what are the odds you'd say that Felipe and Nicholas are the first two on the block?
I would say the odds of them being on the block is slightly higher than average. But really, it's just going to depend on does anybody put a target on their back in the first, you know, couple of days? If not, then there's somebody that stands out. The two people that stand out. If so, then obviously it's usually that kind of person that puts a target on their back that goes up first. As far as I'm concerned about like the twist, though, like. Brent was asking why do this. I think they're doing it so they can have these diary rooms where they're like, oh, I was doing it for my brother and I didn't want to let him down. And I feel like we got all we needed of that and more in this first episode. And now it's just like, where do we go from here? So,
okay. The one thing that really bugged me about this was when Phil says, hey guys, like, just so you know, I didn't know anything about this before it happened. Like, come on, Alex. Like, how dumb does he think we are?
I mean, yeah, I don't know. I assume it's, I don't know. You didn't take him at face value? You really don't think like there's,
okay, dude, you saw in his own biopack of Nicholas, you saw Phil right there, like eating dinner. So I feel like he was there when the cameras were there. They were both there. Would you not see that?
It seems hard to believe. I don't know. I mean, maybe they, who knows? I feel like we'll need to have to talk to them because I can't even begin to speculate on how that went down.
I feel like they're sort of playing along with the show a little bit. Maybe I think they're trying to give good TV. They're trying to give a good confessional. In the back of their mind, maybe they didn't know. No, maybe nobody actually came to their face and said, you know, by the way, your brother's going to be on this season. But they knew. I mean, come on. You know, I mean, they knew.
I guess they could have done it in a way where it was like, hey, you know, one of you is an alternate or, you know, one of you might be on, the other might be on. And so we're going to film you both. And maybe that was the situation. But I really like to imagine that they were both convinced it was just for them because that would have been a really, really hilarious situation.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's more just wishful thinking on my part that they were oblivious because I like that. I like to live in that world.
Yeah, could you? Oh man, I couldn't imagine. I mean, one, going in and being like, "Oh my gosh, my sibling is there," and two, and especially your brother, and two, you're playing as one person. I mean, that has got to be so devastating. If you're going in there, you're in sequester for a week or whatever, waiting to play, and all of a sudden it's, well, guess what? You're not playing by yourself. You have to split the money if you win, and you're playing with your brother and your two huge bros, and you guys are kind of the biggest target in the house right now. So definitely feeling for Nicholas and for Philip on this one. Would not be fun to be in their shoes right now. Yeah. Go ahead, Taryn.
And he was saying, like, I've been waiting my whole life to play this game. He goes in the house. He's like kind of excited to see his brother. He plays it off really well. And then she outs him and he's like, oh, that's kind of annoying. And then she says he's playing with his brother as one person. And the looks on their faces, they were dying inside. Like, I don't want to, that's not an exciting first episode for me.
Right. And like, I watched the BBUK where they did this with Spencer and Heidi, you know what I mean? And it was like a totally different thing. Cause I don't think Heidi agrees to play if she's not allowed to play in like a tandem with Spencer. Like, it was a totally unique situation where they would only play as like a couple. And that was the only way they would get them on the show. So like, this is totally different where you've got two guys who really wanted to play the game and you're just like forcing them into a tandem where their best case scenario is half of what anyone else could. Like, it's really frustrating. I would just be, yeah, it's, I mean, it's such a battle. And then, you know, just to cut the end result in half too is really just like kind of takes the wind out of your sails, I'm sure.
Okay, quickly, predictions for how long the brothers last in the house. Brent?
I do not think they get evicted this week. I mean, I obviously think it's a possibility, but I feel like the contestants will also not want to let the TV show down during their first week. I mean, this is my read on it, but I feel like the contestants are aware of, you know, this is probably good TV. We don't want to blow it during the first week. You know, we'll get them next week. 3 weeks. That's how long they last.
3 weeks. Taryn, you agree with that?
Yeah. I mean, I have to imagine that some of the players in there are going to be thinking, is there going to be a situation where they get to enter the game as individuals? Because that's what's happened with similar twists in the US before, and Big Brother Canada likes to be crazy. So I could see them thinking that's a possibility and maybe being threatened by that. So at the same time, maybe they see it as a potential advantage like Vanessa did in Big Brother 17. So I think it could go either way, but I don't think they're too long for the game because it's always putting a target on you.
Right. But the thing with Vanessa and Big Brother 17 was that the twins knew that they would get to split up after 5 weeks. By the way, I would like to say, given that their double down is what they're doing right now, they obviously have to split at some point. You know, I'm serious. They're going to split at some point. They just haven't informed us yet because they want to drop it on us 4 weeks later. But I'm sure that's what's going to happen. It's so funny. I'm a huge Big Brother fan, and I didn't even consider that. So that's a really good point, Taryn. I am dubious of whether or not the people in the house will think of it, though. But on the other hand, it only takes one person for rumors to spread.
It's interesting, though, because people in the chat have pointed out, when the international versions have done this, they never do split up. So it could go, you know, is this more... This really is a season where it does, like, first you ask the question, am I watching something that's more UK or more America? And this is, like, another example of that, I think. Which way is it going to go? Is it going to go pro-strategy or pro, you know, kind of what, you know, viewership, entertainment, popularity, whatever you want to call that?
Yeah, and if they don't split, it's even more lame that they're not getting double the prize considering they're saying it's doubling down. Like, come on.
Yeah, right? I mean, I feel like double down. Why? Come on, Big Brother. Yeah. I mean, I understand why not, but at the same time, yeah, that would have been cool. Especially considering that they're playing from behind to begin with.
Right.
I mean, it's a huge disadvantage. Two huge bros right off the bat. They know each other. Everyone knows. I mean, if it was a secret, maybe it would be different. But the fact that they were ousted, I feel like that at least would have been a bit of a consolation prize. Let's talk about one person who really stood out for me in this episode. And I thought that he did really well considering what a lot of people were saying preseason. And that is my good buddy, Joel. I love this guy. Joel LaFave is automatically my fave just after seeing him singing the musical theater thing. Wow. That was a crazy, that could not have gotten any better for Joel. Could it have, Taryn?
I don't think so. You know, he seen as the weakest person there. He gets to reinforce that by going out second, but he's safe for the week, which gives him time to create relationships. Nobody's even thinking of him as somebody that's going home, so they're not afraid to get you know, close to him in any way. I this is probably one of the best like first week scenarios you could ever have.
Yeah, really. I mean, your first night, you're safe. I mean, that is, I mean, although, mind you, Captain Kosher was safe on night one of Big Brother 12, and we know how that turned out. Alex, what do you think about Joel? Do you think that socially this guy has, just based on what we saw, do you think he's got what it takes to make a deep run at this thing, or is he going to be too awkward and flame out quickly?
Well, this is what he needed. I mean, he talked about it. Like, the people, like, the biggest danger if you're someone who struggles socially is the first few weeks. And I mean, I immediately, when I saw him get safety for the first week, all I could think of was Ian, who was in a very similar, you know, thought to be in a very similar position as to what people expected Joel to be in that he just didn't immediately click with people. But I mean, if you live with somebody and spend enough time with them, I mean, you know how it is in the house. Like, after a couple of weeks, you just know everything there is to know about these people, whether you want to or not. I mean, eventually people are going to get Joel and his like social quirks and faux pas and mannerisms, like with Steve, like with Ian. They just stop to impact the actual strategy of the game as much. And people stop seeing it as a reason not to work with somebody as options start changing and getting more limited as the game goes on, and start seeing it as just like, well, that's an annoying thing he does, but it has no real bearing on how I play this game going forward. So I think this is exactly what a player like Joel needs, is week one safety to like allow himself to feel safe enough to start to like make some social inroads. Because now that like crazy, like early nervous, anxious energy is off of him. You know what I mean? And that's huge. I think that's everything for a guy like him.
God, where have we heard that before? You know, if he just make it through the first week, then he'll be safe. Like I said, I said the exact same thing about Steve during Big Brother 17. And here, you know, it comes to pass. He gets a week of safety. He doesn't have to worry about anything. And he can go around the house singing Corner of the Sky. That was actually pretty good. I really liked, I liked his voice. I'm serious. And by the way, I have auditioned with that song at least 20 times in my life.
And how has it gone, Brent?
I get a few parts here and there.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Good for you. All right.
I'm crafty, Jordan.
They don't pull the Tina Wesson and say, oh, that's a hard song to sing. Right?
I did not, when I heard that Joel was an actor, I didn't realize he was a musical theater actor. I just assumed, oh, okay, this is a guy who does, you know, plays nerdy guys in commercials or something. But no, he's doing musical theater. And I just thought, oh my gosh, that warmed my heart seeing him do that. He's just great. And I'm really excited to see him. Yeah. He was my personal favorite there. Taryn, I'll let you go.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, like, the musical theater thing, I think that's actually a benefit. I feel like musical theater nerds are typically more socially, you know, yep, in the mix than like the sciencey kind of geeky nerds. So I don't see him necessarily having quite as much of an issue as somebody maybe like Steve or Ian. So I think he could be in it for the long haul here.
If yeah, he does, go I was going to say, if he does well enough, he could be Peter Brown's stunt double.
Yeah, even though Peter Brown is like he's an extra on a superhero TV show, so he'll be the stunt double to the extra on the TV show. Yeah,
and of course Peter Brown is already down on Joel.
Well, why come on, Pete, why?
Like right after I tweeted that this was like a great position for Joel, he was like, bad move by Joel going out in second.
Like, who cares, dude? He's safe. Just hop off. I personally don't get the Joel hate. I don't. Fine, if you don't like dorky nerds or whatever, okay, that's fine. But if you are a dork and a dweeb like I am, how can you not like this guy? I mean, I don't know. And also, you brought up the point of the age thing, Taryn. 33 years old. This guy is not. That's the one thing about this guy that makes him different than Ian and Steve. Brent, do you think this is going to help Joel, the fact that he's a little more mature than those guys, or do you think it's going to hurt him because he can't really relate to the younger 20 somethings?
I think it will help him, you know, given that I am, I mean, it certainly makes me a better podcaster than these two people. So, you know. but no, seriously, I do think that he seems to have enough. He's not as nerdy and reserved as Steve or Ian was his first week. He seems to be able to laugh at himself. Like when they voted him, I think Ian or Steve would have absolutely crumbled if the expectations had been, you know, you're going to be the first one out. Like, oh, they're already after me, you know, but he was totally fine with it. It was like, yeah, I'd probably go with you on that one too.
Okay, let's quickly talk. I mean, we just talked about my favorite person from this episode, but I want to talk about who you guys thought really stood out to you just based on the, maybe in a good way or a bad way, based on what we saw. Brent, let's start with you. Who stood out for you in this premiere episode?
Gosh, well, I mean, it was really tough to see anybody besides the two brothers. I mean, I must say, I don't really like, I mean, did some of these people, I can't even remember if they had more than two like lines in the diary room. The one girl who stood out to me was Cassandra, just because she was like, she was so dramatic. My hair and my makeup are ruined. I can't take this anymore. That's literally what she said when she got off that thing.
She feels like the reincarnation of Rachel. Am I the only one that sees that?
Oh, well, that's why I'm on board. Yeah.
I was hoping for some kind of like Amanda Zuckerman Victoria cocktail, but I think that's just like lofty expectations.
I think maybe if you put Amanda Zuckerman, Rachel Riley, and Danielle Donato in a blender, that this is what you get. These three, I mean, these are like three great people.
Yeah, that would be like best like her case upside. Scenario.
Yeah. Best case scenario. But I see what you're saying there, Taryn. I think I could see that happening. Cassandra really impressed me. I think she's got, I mean, the fact that she said, I don't want to win this first HOH, she clearly knows this game. And yeah, they made her, she kind of came across as not the brightest based on her bio, but it's not her fault that they wanted her to, you know, pose in front of the car and have her take the $5 bill out of her bra and all that kind of stuff. I mean, that's just the show. I think that once we actually see her on the feeds, I think we'll see a bit of a different side to Cassandra. Taryn, who stood out for you in this episode?
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of with Brent here. Like, it's hard to, like, nobody got screen time on the show except for the brothers, really. I mean, Dallas got a little bit with, I want to win HOH, but then I failed to win HOH, and that's okay. Nobody else really even got any content. I mean, I'm still obviously Team Mitch because he's awesome, and I hope that we get to see more of him. And the one thing that stood out to me, Sherry falls because the brother Nick like pushes her off the thing, and there's no word on it whatsoever. Like, was she out because of that? Like, what was up with that?
Yeah, I see a lot of people in the chat are saying hashtag Sherry was pushed, hashtag Sherry gate. There's all this stuff
right?
going on.
And she gave him a bitchy look too. I mean, she was not happy with him.
It's Helen Fitzpatrick all over again from BB15. Yeah, I personally, I mean, I'd have to watch the replay because I was taking notes and live tweeting and that kind of stuff. So yeah, that just seemed really odd to me. I will say is the rules are not fully explained always on the episode. Like, we don't see every single minute detail. So perhaps that is something that that was okay. If you are falling and you accidentally knock someone off, then it is okay. Because I know there has been some issues with opening HOH competitions before, and I feel like that's something that they would have corrected. So
especially I feel like how close they were together.
Yeah, I feel like the kind of thing that usually happens with this sort of thing is they would have her go back up on the thing and it wouldn't count, and they just wouldn't show that in the show. So it's very likely that that happened, but we had to see the brother going down because that was the big storyline, and they just didn't feel like explaining that Sherry goes back up, and they didn't feel like people would care enough, so...
Well, they were wrong.
We'll know for sure tomorrow night. Like, if they have a, you know, a thing where they show the footage and then like Emmett, I mean, you know, whoever, you cheated. We have to do it again.
Oh, poor! Whenever I think of that clip, I just think of Alec Beal when he's like, he had been on slop for 2 weeks in a row, and that was, I think, his third week in a row after that happened. And he's just like, ah, why am I getting? Oh, it's just so funny. Random tangent. I love Alec Beal. Okay, Alex, so nobody stood out for Brent. Nobody stood out for Taryn. Did anybody stand out for you?
I do want to say, like, Taryn mentioned Dallas, and I do think, like, you always see the bartender want to be the one to just like take the initiative on drinks. Like, drinks at the beginning is something someone has to get on, and you can be like, you can do it wrong. Like, we saw season one where it's like, I'm going to take the bottle of vodka and go in here. Like, that there's wrong ways to handle the alcohol and right ways to handle the alcohol. And I thought Dallas did a pretty good job of, like, you know, just saying like, hey, I'm happy to make drinks for everybody. He had like drinks for people as they came down the stairs. Like, that's all good social things without being like too pushy. I think like there's a line at which point you're like, all right, dude, like, take it easy. Like, I get it, you're the bartender, you know what I mean? So like, as someone who's served drinks before, I felt like he did a good job of kind of navigating that initial membrane of like just trying to find your niche in the beginning of a social interaction. And that, you know, everyone knows Dallas because of that. They're like, oh yeah, there's the guy that gave me a drink as soon as I came in. He's a nice guy. You know what I mean? Like that starts the ball rolling on the kind of thoughts you want. Besides him, I also thought that, who was it?
I can't remember their name.
I thought it was interesting that, like Maddie thinks Kelsey is so fake when
that
like,
was so
I didn't
random.
Get that vibe. If anything, I got like kind of an artificial vibe from Maddie and it's just like, I feel like, what is it about like the people who are artificial just hate genuine people for being artificial? It's like such a recurring thing here. But it seems so weird.
It happens on Big Brother every season. And we got to give a big kudos to Robin Cass because time after time after time, she manages to find girls and guys too. But for whatever reason, these like, you know, young 20 somethings, they just seem to fight all the time. I mean, this is like, and just for no reason. I mean, Rochelle and Heather in Big Brother Canada 2, it was another one where it was just like, wait, why do you guys not get along? I mean, it's just so strange. So this is one I think to watch for sure. Because yeah, just right off the get go. I mean, she just like doesn't like her. Speaking of Kelsey though, a lot of people in the preseason were predicting a Kelsey and Jared showmance. What do you think about that, Brent? First showmance of the season, potentially?
I ship it, definitely. You know, wasn't that the girl he was looking at when
that was? Yep.
Okay,
yep.
Cool. I am also still learning their names, actually. Like I said, I haven't done a lot of pregame stuff. By the way, I want to really quickly bring up, it is striking to me how much Raul and Jared line up next to season one, Gary and Emmett. I mean, they are like the same people. You know, Raul talking about fashion, how he was gay coming out of his mother's vagina. And, you know, like, you know, I mean, like, what kind of a gay guy wears like scarves and things like that? Seriously, where do they find these people? Help me.
Did you plan that?
No, actually, I thought of it, but I'm like, God, I look just like him, don't I?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah, if you're watching this, if you're listening in the audio archives, definitely come to the video on YouTube and check out Brent's scarf.
Second time you said that.
I'm totally, it's worth it. It's worth it. It really is. I really want these people to come check it out.
I'm totally with you on the Raul, like Gary thing, but like, I'm seeing a lot of this Emmett Jared comparison, and I just like, yeah, he's got a belt buckle and a freaking plaid shirt, but like, Emmett was a great player. We haven't even seen this guy on feeds yet. Like, I'm not ready to anoint him Emmett at all.
Well, I think they're casting him as the new Emmett, and it's whether or not he live up to it is a separate issue.
Yeah, but that's a tall order. Like, I think people are already, well, I'm already seeing people online saying like, this is Emmett with better personality. And I'm like, we haven't even seen a minute of feeds. Like, how can you claim that? Like,
no way. No.
Let's temper our expectations on Jared a little.
He seems a little bit douchey, actually. Like, Emmett was many things, but he was not douchey. I mean, I loved Emmett in the house. He was such a sweet guy. Jared, yeah, I don't know. You know, still a reserving judgment at this point.
Jerry's out.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see with Jared. I mean, I think it's a little too early to call him douchey, but we'll see when the feats come on tomorrow night. I'll let you do it, Brent, but I'm not quite ready to make that proclamation. Okay, quickly, let's take some questions here, guys, before we get out of here tonight. So again, if you want to leave a question, type in /Q on the chat on Blab here. Okay, so first, this one comes from Bryce Riles.
I'll read this one. So Bryce Riles at The Spicy Brycey says, Jordan, since you are the master of magically figuring out how to get yourself voted out, who on day one looks to most likely be following in your footsteps?
Oh, Bryce, you had to go there, Bryce. No, I'm just kidding. That's a great question. Very funny. Who's going to vote themselves out? That's a really tough question. I mean, I think the obvious one is Joel, just because we saw, you know, in his pregame interviews on CarterMatt.com, he said that he's a guy who really likes to overanalyze things. The difference with Joel is I think he's a lot older than I am. And he also said in his bio, he's not going to make the same mistakes that I made. So I think it's going to be someone like that hasn't really seen too much of the show. I think maybe not vote themselves out. I don't think anyone's going to make an error quite that bad, but give me Jared. I don't know why. I just have a feeling he's going to get played somehow this season and it's going to blow up in his face. I have no idea. I'm just taking a shot. We'll see what happens, but definitely not. I can't call him Emmett yet either, like some of these people are saying. Okay, so let's get into this. Another question here. Where is the hashtag Sherry got pushed outrage? That's from Zach Vossler. So we talked about that. Any guesses on who LaVita will nominate? So this one is from at Nikki Philly. Guys, where are you leaning on this one? It's tough because we didn't really see too much. Alex, what do you think?
I think, you know, and like you said, this is just kind of just based on very minimum information. I think, you know, obviously the Phil Nick combination seems like an easy target at this point. They have to be, you know, certainly in the consideration based on what we've seen. We know they're going into isolation during a very critical time when people are going to really spend time talking, getting to know each other, drinking a little bit, socializing in a positive atmosphere before the game gets too stressful. That's a great time to be able to have conversations in like a safe place. You know what I mean? And they're going to miss out on that. So that's not good. I think, you know, obviously Cassandra was out first, and, you know, if she's going on about like how much time she put into her makeup, and then like, there's a line at which point people may get irritated with her. If she's talking about like, oh, I was getting ready for that for so long and now it's ruined and all that. Like, you can make that joke once or twice, but if you keep harping on that, that could be an issue. Yeah, I don't know. I think beyond that, like, certainly Dallas was out early, but I don't know if it'll hurt him. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's pretty up in the air though.
Yeah, very tough to make a prediction on this one. Taryn, what do you think?
One thing I liked about Cassandra when she was like, "If I'm the first one to drop, does that mean I'm gonna be like the first one gone?" And somebody, I think it might have been Jared, was like, "It doesn't matter, just drop."
That is the right answer.
Yeah.
No, if that was Jared, that's well
exactly.
Done.
Exactly.
Taryn, what did LaVita say in her preseason video about, you know, how she's going, if she's head of household, like, what would she do? If she won, did she say anything about if she won HOH during the first week, what she would intend on doing?
The only thing she said really about what she would do gameplay wise was she wanted to make a bunch of promises to people and then keep them. So I imagine she plans on promising a bunch of people that they're safe and maybe getting herself into a bind when a veto happens. But yeah, I mean, based on first impressions, I guess like the only line of the night Maddie really had was that line about Kelsey. So maybe they're trying to indicate to us that she's not fitting in very well. So she could be a possibility. And obviously the brothers are a big target. You know, that's really all we have to go on so far.
By the way, Jordan, what's happening? So is there another episode tomorrow? And
So how this is going to work. So the schedule, for those of you guys who are not familiar with it yet, is every Wednesday, the episode's going to air after Survivor on Global. So that's going to be at 9 p.m. Eastern. And on Thursdays, it's going to be the eviction episode. So that will be at, I believe, 8 p.m. Eastern. Sunday, it's a little bit earlier. It's going to be at 7 p.m. Eastern.
Is somebody being evicted tomorrow?
Yes, somebody is going to be evicted tomorrow, as far as I know. And one of the wild cards is going to be going in the house because they entered the house. Let's see. So last Friday is when they entered the house. So they've been in there for about a week. And then someone's going to go out tomorrow. So I imagine that happened on the first night. Probably last Friday is when that happened. There were some rumors floating around that Paige won that HOH, but obviously those were wrong. So that's basically what's going to happen. It's a little bit different than BBUS, which I actually don't really like, because I would prefer personally to get to know these people maybe for a full week, and then we get to see someone go home, because it sucks if you get two episodes and then you're out. Let's say hypothetically Maddie goes home tomorrow. We just saw, like, we saw her say she doesn't like Kelsey, and then it's like, all right, bye, see you later. That's it.
Yeah. There's no investment. We don't care that they're going home because we...
Exactly. I was not invested at all when Risha went home last year, right. or if it had been Peely when the audience voted. So
no,
yeah.
Whereas, you know, for us in the house, we all were invested because we had known these people for a week. So it's definitely, it's different how they do it. But
I was invested in Risha.
I'll bet you were.
Of course you were, Alex.
I do want to quickly say, Netta pointed out in the chat room something I forgot about LaVita, which is that she did say she didn't want to align with the girls. She wanted to align with the guys. So that is something to look out for. She's probably going to nominate some girls if she sticks to that, which they don't always do.
Yeah. And she also did say that in her little biopic on the show tonight, she said that she wants to work with cerebral people, intelligent, you know, nerdy guys, whatever. So I feel like, well, obviously Joel is safe because he won that immunity, but I feel like she's going to go after maybe some of the girls that may not be that are kind of coming across at least as maybe not the most intelligent. Perhaps that's where she's going to go. Who knows? It's a little bit tough here. Quickly, this is a very funny question from Jorge Alvarado. He says, was Joel's not ever opening up a bottle of champagne scene a metaphor for his sex life?
Oh, man. Well, it's going to be a long season of stuff like that, I think, for poor Joel.
Oh, poor Joel, man. Come on. Poor guy. That's so funny. Okay.
I'm sure you got to appreciate, like, Jordan, you were the butt of some of that stuff, but it's different in 21 than it is at 33.
Yeah,
man.
It totally is. I feel
rough spring for the guy.
Poor Joel. But, you know, he's having the time of his life, I'm sure, in there. So,
I hope so.
I'm sure he couldn't care less. And that's what I love about Joel is he's comfortable in his own skin. Okay, before we get out of here, guys, let's talk about the wild card twist. So if you were familiar, if you've been following the show in the preseason, you would have saw, okay, guess what? Big twist from Big Brother Canada. Big surprise. One of these international people is going to be going into BB Can 4 House as a house guest, as far as we know. So one of Nikki Graham or Veronica Graff. And one of Jace Wiry from Big Brother 5 US or Tim Dormer is going to be entering the BB Can House tomorrow night. Based on your votes, you can go to bigbrothercanada.ca if you want to keep voting. And it doesn't matter which country you're in. If you're in Canada, the US, across the world, anybody can vote for this thing. I didn't talk to you guys about this because I didn't have you guys on during my preseason podcast. Alex and I talked a little bit with Rob last Friday. So I'll throw it to you, Taryn. What do you think about this wild card twist, and who are you rooting for? Who do you want the audience that's watching this right now to go vote for?
In general, I think I'm fine with it. You know, they're just players. So, you know, I'm way more fine with this kind of twist than others. I was excited at the prospect of seeing Jace go back into the house because I am actually a fan of Jace. I liked seeing him on Big Brother. That said, I looked into Tim and he seems awesome. I've like practically watched his entire season of like his parts of his season at this point. And, he's hilarious and I think he'd be great on the show. And that seems to be the fan consensus. He didn't get a whole lot. He didn't get a lot of strong content on the episode. So I think depending on how many votes the episode brings in, he could be in trouble because I think a lot of people are going to watch the episode and see Jace and kind of maybe remember him. I mean, anybody that watched Big Brother 5 will remember him, you know, standing, pushing that button, going crazy. So it could go either way. I think I'm kind of pulling for Tim, but I would honestly be happy seeing either of them go in. For the women, I mean, I don't really know either of them particularly well. Nikki is apparently a legend and iconic and amazing, but not necessarily my kind of player. So I don't care either way.
Brent, what do you think is going to win out? Is it going to be the Canadian public or is it going to be the online community?
I think anytime this has ever happened, you know, you need only look at the second chance voting in the United States to see that the fan vote does not nearly equal anything what the general public has, the influence that they have over the voting, hashtag Shane Powers. So I certainly think, even though I would love to see Tim in the house, I would be stunned if Jace didn't make it in. Especially after Canada has watched his entire season, watched Big Brother All-Stars, and you know he's clearly a memorable guy. On the other hand, I will say this. Tim is the kind of guy you passionately vote for, and Jace, yeah, you know, do you really go and vote for him? He's kind of a – I'm looking for a safe word here. But, you know, he's a jerk. He's a pompous jerk. Let's be honest. That's how he was during his two seasons. And nobody really liked him, and that's why he got evicted the first. That's why they invented the back door to get him out because he was so ridiculous. For the women, it's clearly Nikki. I mean, there's no other choice. Come on.
Yeah, I'm with you on the Nikki thing. I think you're sleeping a little bit on Tim here and the popular
popularity
that he has from Big Brother Australia. I think a lot of those fans have been voting this last week.
Yeah.
And I would be, yeah, I think that's going to be the swing is how many people voted in this past week compared to how many people are voting tonight. And Australians and Americans and people in the UK, they can all vote. So I think that is going to be the ultimately, it's just going to depend. Yes, people have been supporting him on Twitter, but have they actually been going out and casting their votes? We'll have to wait and see and find out because it's like
Tim
with
the Bernie Sanders of Big Brother Canada,
right? Yeah, I wasn't aware of that. That's good info, Jordan. I really wasn't aware that people outside of Canada could. I mean, I know they could if they did the VPN thing and got a new link or whatever. But to literally just go online and vote right away, that's awesome.
For this vote, it's just a click and click. Yeah,
it is. Yeah, and they've had the whole week to stockpile votes, as opposed to just one day. So yeah.
So the casual could be the international casual. So there is a bit of an additional element with that, where they don't have to be a super fan, but they could just be an Australian person who heard something was going on with Tim. Or yeah,
good.
Okay, let's get out of here on this. Alex, I'll throw the last question to you, my friend. What do you think if you're in there right now? Let's say hypothetically Maddie goes out the door this week, okay? We have the brothers in the house, Phil and Nick. We have these two wild cards coming into the house tomorrow night. Who are you more afraid of and who is the bigger target?
I mean, at this point, I'm probably not trying to have any kind of influence on the game whatsoever, because I feel like doing anything at this point of the game is just going to stick your head up prematurely. But, if something happened where someone's asking me and I'm in that position where I have to have some kind of influence, I think I'm more concerned about the international players than just the twosome. I mean, the twosome, they're already going to be hampered by the fact that they have to come to terms on any decision they make. The international players are much bigger threats for public votes, and public votes would be my all encompassing fear and concern. If I was in that house, I would spend all my time worrying about them. I would not sleep for fear of what the public may be voting on in that moment. That would be my whole nightmare. So yeah, that would be
that's why you have to align with them. Ultimately,
I guess, but then you never get the opportunity to take them out. Or then if you do, then the next week is Canada's HOH and they make you pay for it.
You have to take them out on the DL.
I kind of feel that they'll sleep on the international players in general. I think, and I mainly because I don't think they can win. I mean, are you seriously going to let somebody from another country come onto your Big Brother Canada show and walk away with the money? I mean, there's no way. Their final two goat, I don't care who it is, there's no way anybody from another country is coming onto the show and taking home the money. No way.
As we get closer to the end, that will be a whole new level of interesting conversation in terms of deliberating at the end, what makes a deserving winner, what factors into that. There's an element that we've never seen in any of these shows that we talk about before. So I am looking forward to seeing how that plays in, if at all.
Yeah, I do think the closest thing we've seen is the coaches coming in 14, and we saw the vitriol that's spawned. So
it's true.
Yep.
Well, it's going to be interesting. I'm really looking forward to seeing who actually gets in there. And I'm looking forward to seeing who exactly LaVita nominated and who's going to be going home tomorrow night. Should be a really fun night. I can't wait to check it out. I will not be live on Thursday nights during the season, but Rob Sesternino will be live on Friday afternoons to break down the Thursday eviction on Big Brother Canada. So don't forget to check that out this Friday. I will be there. I don't know who else is going to be there. One of you three is joining me. I don't know who exactly it is, but we'll figure it out when we cross that bridge. So don't forget to check that out on robinswebsite.com. Thank you guys so much for joining us today. If you enjoyed this show, you want to support the Rahappy Hour, there's two things you can do. One, you can go to robinswebsite.com/Rahappy Hour. That's happy hour with an R at the front. And you can subscribe to the show. From there, you can leave a rating and review on iTunes. That's something that really helps the show grow. So let me know what you think about the show. If you're a fan of it and you want to somehow give back to me, that's one really huge way that you can help me out, because then it helps other people find the show. I mentioned it multiple times. Brent was wearing a great scarf tonight. So if you're you're listening in the audio, check us out on YouTube, Reality TV Rehapups. Subscribe to us on YouTube. And don't forget to subscribe to Reality TV Rehapups on iTunes as well. Go to robinswebsite.com/rehapups. Okay, guys, don't forget to follow everyone here as well tonight. I'm at Jordan Parhar. Taryn is at Armstrong Taryn. Alex is at Alex Kidwell. And Brent is at One Lucky Gay. We need a hashtag from you guys in the chat. I don't know what you guys want to lean with. Hashtag Sherry was pushed seems to be something that a lot of people were talking about this.
Will that get you in trouble with production?
Maybe not the best hashtag to use.
Is that the foot you want to start this show? Yeah,
right off the get go, everybody, the premiere episode, just starting off on the wrong foot, probably not a good idea.
Feet is pretty good, but we didn't talk about it.
We did not talk about Joel's big feet. We see Jordan running scared. Okay, you know what? Let's just go with Joel. Okay, now there's some other ones that are inappropriate. We'll just leave it at hashtag Joel's big feet. All right, guys. Thank you so much for joining us today. We'll be back live on Sunday. Don't forget to check that out. And we'll be back again 1 week from tonight. Next Wednesday, I'll be live with Kevin Martin from Big Brother Canada 3, fan favorite. He'll be joining me to recap next week's Wednesday episode. Should be a lot of fun. Okay, so for Alex Kidwell, Brent Walgamont, and Taryn Armstrong, I'm Jordan Parhar. Hashtag Joel's Big Feet. We'll talk to you soon. Take care. Peace out. Reality TV, we're happy hour. Reality TV, we're happy hour.